Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This little story in Matthew of three kings and a star is an odd kind of story. These three latecomers to the vision of Jesus' birth are following a star to where this new king that they've heard about will be born. But you notice in the text, they do not go to Bethlehem. They go to where? Jerusalem. Of course they go to Jerusalem. They go to Jerusalem because that's where the king should be born. That's where kings live, is in Jerusalem. Certainly not a little backwater town in the middle of Judea called Bethlehem. And so they go there and they find a king. Not the one they were looking for. They find King Herod. I saw a little dramatization of the Three Kings many years ago. And the guy who played King Herod was fabulous, because he was kind of that sort of oily, nice kind of king. As the three kings came up and said, "Hey, where can we find the new king?" He says, "Well, I don't know, but when you find him, could you let me know? Send me a text, because I'd like to go and pay homage to him." Homage to him. I always have in my head air quotes. We all know what King Herod has in mind. The timing of the historicity and all that sort of stuff on this is off a bit, because we know that Herod will be responsible for the slaughter of the innocents. But he wants to know where this new king will be. Not because he wants to pay homage or bring gifts or celebrate what God is up to in the world, but so that Herod can stay king. He cannot brook anyone else taking that title away from him. So the Magi, these musicians. Could we just say they were magicians, musicians, same thing. These magicians, these astrologers, these men of science who had made their way from a far away, they finally follow the star. It rests over Bethlehem, and there they find this unexpected king, this Jesus, this child. We'll sing in one of the Epiphany hymns, "No diadem, no castle, just a child." And they kneel down. They see God made manifest. God revealed in this child. And they bring their gifts. As they get up to leave, in my mind's eye, I see them having a conversation about Herod. And saying to themselves, "Well, perhaps we should go home by another way. Maybe an Uber. I don't know. But if we go back to Jerusalem, we know what will happen." And so they leave. This story gets used lots of different ways, but really it is kind of a story about how God not only is making God's self manifest in the baby Jesus, but it also is a precursor to what is in store for Jesus later on. It turns out that the Herods do not go away. That in fact, in the end, this child who is in the manger will find himself at the hands of a king. And there he will die. Well, it turns out there are still plenty of Herods today. The question that has been rolling around in my mind for some time is, just as God found a way to make God's self manifest in that first century time under Herod, how is God making God's self manifest today in the face of all that we endure and that we see? Honestly, there are times that I would just like to go home another way. It seems like it would be so much easier. But instead, we have a different calling. A calling that, as I've thought through, has something to do with being radiant and a radiant faith. The other day, in Bible study, every Thursday Bible study, there's about 20 of us in a room. It always starts out well. In other words, we study the Bible for the first part. And at some point, we decide to take on the problems of the world. And we start talking about things like injustice and poverty and all of those kinds of things. And somewhere along the line, at almost every class, someone will ask, well, as usual, we've named the problem. Now what do we do? We don't always know. Someone in the Bible study spoke up and said, well, you know, sometimes we don't know what a difference a kind word or a smile or just a hello will have on someone's life. We don't really know what it will do to treat some person with dignity or to even see them. And at first I didn't dismiss it, but I thought, yeah, that's really true. But, I mean, we're talking gigantic problems. We're talking about Herod in the world. As I read this text, it began to make more sense to me. It's more than just a sanguine kind of theology of niceness or decency. It turns out that the transformation of the world happens exactly that way. Kindness, an unlooked for good act. I have a friend who is that person. She is always the bright light everywhere she goes. It's annoying. Because, I mean, I am not that person. I'm generally pretty happy, but, you know, I am not joy and sunshine most of the time. But she is, and she's the kind of person that you begin to gravitate to because you know that somewhere along the line you will hear the gospel through her. Even if it's just a hug, or a hello, or a welcome, or a cookie. Praise God for cookies, exactly. But it began to occur to me what a difference she's made in my life every time I've seen her. Every encounter that I've had with her reminds me what goodness and light and radiance look like. How will we make God manifest in the time of Herod? Maybe we will do it that way. Maybe making God manifest is, as Rolf Jacobson says, related to worship. He says, worship is the daily act of taking yourself out of the center of the universe. Which is, of course, what Herod does. Herod always has to be the center of the universe. The first act of faith is to take ourselves out of the center of the universe that we might be able to be given away by God. Isaiah says to us, lift up your eyes away from yourself to our neighbor. And when we lift up our eyes to God, when we begin to live out that vision in Isaiah, we can for the first time see one another anew. Enjoy. How do we make God manifest? I envision a ministry and faith, first of all, that is challenging. It's not enough to keep doing the same motions and the same things day after day. Even worse, one of the things that's great about being Herod is that you're always right. And if you aren't actually right, you have the might to make yourself right. But in ministry, in the ministry and faith of Jesus, we are challenged. We are challenged by a light that shines in Christ, that shines a light on untruth, on lies. And the lies that say that wealth and fame and power should be the center of our life. I envision a ministry and a faith that shines light on those injustices and shines light on love. I envision in Christ, I see God being made manifest in a faith and ministry that is transformative. Turns out, Herod would always like to keep things the same and keep you well in your place. But the ministry and faith of Jesus transforms us, changes us, calls us to turn around and go the other way. Now, for some of us, that's really hard. It's a lot easier to stay in the Barco Lounger than get up and do a Peloton, which I think is actually the work of the devil. It's easier just to remain right where we are, but in this child in the manger, there is transformation that happens. We go from being slaves to being free. In Paul's case, if you remember in the first century, the Christians of the first century were quite certain that Jesus had only come for the Jews. And then this crazy guy named Paul has the temerity to say, I think the Gentiles might be okay. And at first, Peter, remember Peter, the rock upon whom we will build the church? Peter says, no, Paul, that can't be right. And Paul says, hey, I think it could be right. And it turns out you all got let into the church. Because Paul saw the transformative love of God and said, guess what? It doesn't just apply to one group. It applies even to Lutherans. The radiance of God is made manifest again and again in a ministry and faith that proclaims the presence of God even in the darkest places. Even in the lands where Herod has laid claim, a light shines in that darkness. And the presence of God, of love, of equity, equality, joy, and peace are still proclaimed. Even as war unfolds, God will be present that good might come. And it will come in you. How will we proclaim the radiance of God? We will proclaim the radiance of God in a ministry and faith that is Jesus. It turns out it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. We are being called through the cross to become Christ for our time. and for our neighbor. Although the Herods of this world may bellow and blow, and they may claim to be the ones who are in charge, it is always God who created all things from the beginning, who is the one who is our Savior and our hope. Three wise men visited the baby Jesus looking for a king, and they did not find what they were looking for. At least, not right away. It was a child named Jesus who was made manifest, who was revealed as our hope forever and the hope of the world for today. Three kings. Amen.